Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is Ellen Lieberman, a political columnist for Rhode Island Monthly. Thanks for joining us, Ellen.
Thank you for having me.
And we're pleased to welcome back the mayor of Cranston, Alan Fung. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
There's been widespread support and sympathy for the city of Boston after two explosions rocked the Boston Marathon this week. Scott, what's your takeaway from this? How do you think it'll affect the future of public events?
Well, Boston certainly loves its public celebrations, whether it's July 4th on the Esplanade, whether it's Patriots Day, whether it's First Night. We all love to watch those rolling duck boat excursions through town when one of our teams wins a championship. So I hope that this really doesn't change the nature of public events. Now, will there be more security? Unfortunately, there probably will be. But I think Boston's a resilient old city. And I think people want basically to say an up your nose kind of thing. And I think they're going to want to come back as stronger than ever with these events.
Mayor Fung, we've seen a lot of unity after this attack. Do you think that the response would be the same if these attacks had been more widespread or if the body count had been higher?
No, I think, you know, that hashtag Boston Strong really says it all. People coming together and, you know, uniting because of what happened, whether it was the grisly scene that happened there or even, you know, thank God there wasn't more damage. But at the end, a united Boston, united our country, there is more heightened security, and that's always going to be a risk. But at the end of the day, we're a strong country, strong people.
Ellen, Boston was the scene of some sharp racial polarization in the 1970s during the school desegregation crisis. What's your takeaway from how the city and the community responded after this attack?
Well, I think I heard a Boston Globe columnist talk about how Boston runs on three things, and one of them was revenge. And that they
sports, politics, and
revenge. Yes, and that their revenge was going to be that they were going to resume, that they were not going to let this stop them from doing anything they had done in the past. So I think we're going to see, of course, the event come back, and as Scotty pointed out, the event's going on, but with heightened security, and that's just reality.
Let's go to some questions for our special guest, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. You're obviously one of the few bright spots for the Republican Party in Rhode Island, and you say you continue to consider a possible gubernatorial run in 2014. Is there anything that would keep you from running for governor next year?
Well, you know, the work in Cranston is something that's still a priority to me and will always be a priority. But at the end of the day, I'm doing it simultaneously, and that's why I think many people saw that I brought Patrick Sweeney on board, because there is a lot of work that goes on with governing. And that's an important job and one that I take seriously and not for granted. But bringing on Patrick, while I evaluate and take that serious look at that gubernatorial position that offers similar type challenges, something I relish, and that's why I'm seriously taking a look at it.
Have you done any polling of the gubernatorial race or how you match up against any of the other potential candidates?
No, I haven't gone that far. But as everyone saw in that PPP poll just a few months ago,
public policy polling for those who for those keeping score at home.
You know, without me even doing anything statewide yet, you know, I'm in the game. So that's why, you know, it's nice to see that people have such high favorabilities of me. But at the end of the day, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing in Cranston. I'm going to take a serious look and just keep moving forward with initial steps.
Let's go to Scott.
You're one of the very few political figures in the major political figures in the state who has not endorsed the marriage equality, same-sex marriage initiative that's at the State House.
Yep.
Why is that?
No, it's just that I'm a traditionalist when it comes to that front, and just the religious, so long as the religious exemption is there, that's part of where I'm coming from.
So you could support it if there's enough religious protection.
That's correct.
Let's go to Ellen.
Mayor Fung, in your tenure, you've had two, I would say, missteps. One of them was the Mayoral Academy, and the other one was in successfully now negotiating pension reforms. Initially, you were considering imposing a cap on the COLA. And I'm wondering what you have learned about governing from these two experiences.
Well, first of all, I don't think the Achievement First application was a misstep at all. I think if in hindsight, I might have taken a different approach to it. But in the end, education reform is a priority because it's about our kids. And I think in both instances, with even what we're doing on the pension reform, as well as the Achievement First, having that dialogue is important, making sure that there is the buy-in, because both of those situations are significant impacts from education to the finances of the city. It was definitely a learning experience. That first one was right out of the gate. But at the end of the day, I don't think it was a misstep to put it forward, because it was, definitely needed.
Right. I guess I was referring to sort of the reaction of the educational community to the way you went about it. And I think that, you know, tone and strategy have a lot to say about what the outcomes are in governing.
Mayor, you recently announced a plan to shore up a severely underfunded local pension plan. Does this show that it was the correct move to not include local pensions in the state pension overhaul of 2011?
Actually, I think it proves that it should have been included, because it was very difficult to even get what I could get in that negotiation process. Because at the end of the day, this is where the mayors and town administrators across that have these critical funded plans need that extra help for that public policy argument. At the end of the day, I probably could have gotten a better deal that would have helped even more if I had that tool behind me.
Right. In other words, you agree with the governor and not Treasurer Raimondo and the legislature.
That's correct, because that's why Mayor Taveras, myself, and even the governor jumped on board saying we needed that enabling legislation, because sure. That was another arrow in the quiver in this whole public policy argument, because the most difficult part of that whole process is those in the local level are in contracts more likely than not. And in order to break that, you need that valid public purpose.
To follow up on that point, the difference between how Mayor Fung and Mayor Taveras in Providence have negotiated pension settlements, and Gina Raimondo helped to be the architect of the state pension overhaul, that will be a big contrast if the three of you run for governor next year. What do you make of that contrast, Ellen, and how do you think that'll influence the gubernatorial race?
Well, I always think it's better to negotiate. As Mayor Fung points out, buy-in is critical when you're trying to solve a very complex and thorny problem. But on the other hand, the electorate like the idea of the strong man that comes in and just starts telling everybody what they're going to do. And that plays very well on talk radio. I don't feel that actually helps solve any problems. And I'm hoping that, you know, in a contrast between candidates in a statewide race, that the negotiators are going to be looked upon with more favor than the imposers.
What would you say to the same question, Scott?
Well, I think you want to negotiate rather than litigate, if you can do it. That's, you know, it's unfortunately, it's episodic, and you have to look at each of these negotiations in a different way. However, I think that the mayor probably knows more about this than any of us, and if you think, and Mayor Taveras, if you people think that you need an enabling legislation, then you probably do, because you deal with this every day on the ground, and obviously, with a union negotiation, it's complicated, but you got to knock heads together, and you've got to keep people in the same room talking. And unfortunately, that's how government works. It's a messy sausage-making enterprise.
It is messy, and at the end of the day, sometimes you can't avoid litigation, but if you're at the table and do the best you can on both sides, I think the big key is listening. And I think that's why the byproduct of what we were able to do is listening to the concerns also of the retirees and what they're going through, having that opportunity for them to vent, but then hearing about what our taxpayers are going through, what we're going through in government, and at the end of the day, avoiding a Central Falls type situation.
Well, that's the key thing. Without Central Falls, the Treasurer Raimondo doesn't get her legislation through the State House. We know that. She pretty much said that when she was here the last time we had her on. And I don't think Mayor Fung or Mayor Taveras are able to actually, cajole, negotiate, whatever you want to say with the union folks, particularly public safety. They're tough unions.
Mayor Fung, quickly, let's just get your reaction to the uncertain outlook for more stringent gun laws in the Congress in the aftermath of the Newtown shooting last December.
You know, certainly there has to be that closure of some of those loopholes that are out there, like from just the simple things like they were discussing about, you know, buying guns at those mass events that they have, or even, you know, closing loopholes on the straw purchases that go into the gun shops. There has to be tough penalties closing that, and also making sure that mental health checks are part of that background process. Those are some of the simple things that should be done.
Mayor, you know, it's your party that's giving us voter ID, but no gun ID.
Just in closing, Mayor, are people on the other side of the issue wrong to say that those measures would not prevent a school shooting like Newtown?
No, I don't think so at all, because at the end of the day, they're right in a way. in a sense, and I'm not an advocate of putting a officer in every school, but there ain't no way, because there are people with challenges, issues, that if they're going to do something violent, they're going to do something violent. And whether it's through a gun or knife or anything else, that's the difficult part about it. If someone wants to do devastation like what we saw in Boston, they're going to find a way to do it.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
From Rhode Island Monthly, Ellen Lieberman?
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
And the mayor of Cranston, Alan Fung?
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.